I said there's nothing too big for him, nothing too complicated. He can do it all, amen? Then let's bless him with this song this morning. church, let me hear you say,
there's no other name, no other name like Jesus.
I said there's no other name.
There's no other name.
I said there's no other name
like Jesus.
Oh, sing
it. There's no other name, no other name like Jesus.
Sing it again, baby.
There's no other name, no other name like Jesus. There's no other name, no other name like Jesus.
And you are good. You are good all the time.
And your love, it goes forever. You are good all the time. You are good.
Sing it again.
You are good all the time. And your love, it goes forever. You are good all the time. You are good.
There is no other. Shall praise this morning. We serve a great God. We serve a great God. He's worthy of our praise. Amen.
just worship your Savior this morning. Worship your hands and surrender and sing to me how great.
Say, this is my soul, my Savior.
house of God. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Jesus. Jesus. Come on, church. Sing it with all your gut. My Savior God, to thee, how great thou art. You are great, Jesus. How great thou art.
Come on, church, let me
then sings my soul. Then sings my soul. Praise Him. Praise Him. He's worthy. His name is Jesus, the Lamb of God. Worthy is the Lamb. Don't let the trees cry out for you. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. We worship you, God. We worship you, God. You are high and lifted up. Your train fills the temple this morning. Father, you are just amazing. God, today, thank you for the privilege of being in the literal, tangible presence of heaven. God, you are in this place, and you love your people. Father, there are many that are disconnected, and I pray in Jesus' name that you'll make that divine connection with them this morning in Jesus' name. Lord, that they'll see a new sight. They'll have an understanding of how great you are. That, Lord, our whole lives will change because the larger you become, Lord, we recognize the greatness that you are. Lord, we will decrease so you can increase. And God, we make a declaration with our mouths. To God be the glory, great things he has done. Father, to you alone, you deserve it all. And Lord, we honor you this morning. Oh, King, King Jesus, we honor you this morning. We thank you for saving us from ourselves. Thank you for saving us from our sins. Thank you that while we were still sinners, you chased us and you died for us. Thank you, Jesus, that you love us with an uncompromising, everlasting love that cannot be changed or shuddered about, but it is constant and consistent. We honor you this morning, and we thank you for your presence. Lord, in Jesus' name, Father, you said, if we ask anything in your Son's name, you'll give it to us. Lord, this morning we ask in the name of Jesus for restoration. Restoration first with you. Restoration, God, in ourselves. Restoration, God, in our own minds. Restoration, God, with you and your kingdom. Restoration, Father, with family members. Restoration, God, in our physical bodies. We command sickness to go in the name of Jesus. Restoration, oh God, even with struggles and chaos in our mind. Father, we just thank you that you are so faithful to touch us while we're in your presence. And today we honor you. We bow our hearts and our heads before you and declare you as God. In Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
I said, everybody said,
amen.
You know, the Bible says that when we don't praise them, the rocks will cry out. Ain't no rock gonna take my place. Can I hear you? I said, there's not one rock that's going to take my place. The trees of the fields, they clap their hands, is what the Bible says. But the Bible says to his saints, clap your hands, O you people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. I love giving him praise.
Because it shows us how much we owe him. He paid a debt we could not pay. And without the blood of Jesus, we would all be lost today. And I thank God for Jesus. Amen? Amen. All right, why don't you do me a favor? Why don't you go find five people you don't know and go say, hey, Jesus, wash my sins away. We're part of the same family. Come on, go find somebody you don't know this morning.
Ladies, have you made your divine appointment with God yet? The next Women's Encounter is June 2nd through the 4th. We have limited space available. God will be there. Will you? The total cost is only $325. That includes your meals, two nights in a private hotel room, and lots of fun surprises. Space is limited, so contact me, Carla at histabernacle.com, or find me in the foyer.
Where's the body?
I already told you, I don't know where the body is.
So it'd be a lot easier if you tell me where the body is.
I'll tell you where the body is, man. I don't even know anything about that.
I'm only gonna ask you one more time. Where's the body?
I said I don't know!
Good Friday and Easter Sunday morning this week. Isn't that crazy?
All right, you ready? Hey, it's Tabernacle. We want to remind you, we got the Easter egg hunt.
I'm sorry. Wait, what's that?
What's what?
What's going on here?
Nothing.
What's going on here?
Nothing.
What are those?
Nothing.
What is this?
It's an Easter egg. Yeah. So again, we want to remind you, Easter egg hunt is coming up this Saturday, March 26th. We're getting started at 11 a.m. sharp. We're going to be doing the ages of 6th grade and under. So make sure that you're inviting your friends, your family, and being here to celebrate this Easter season. Really? Are you serious right now?
A perfect opportunity to be refueled, to allow God to pour into your spirit.
I got clarity and confirmation about going forward in the ministry, and it was just a real blessing.
I would recommend any pastor and every pastor to come to the Empowering Pastors Conference.
Praise the Lord. That is going to be an amazing summit, and we want to encourage you. We always invite the body out. It is for pastors specifically, but you'll find that if you're a leader, if you're a business leader or a ministry leader, you'll find great success in being there. And we always give the lower price. There are two prices, $99 for senior pastors, and then $49 for anybody else who'd like to come. We'd encourage you to register. You'll be blessed. We've never found one person that didn't leave, that didn't say, my life was transformed. You know what's really interesting, and I shared this, we've been asking and sharing with you that this year, just three of our outreaches are about $85,000. And many of you say, oh my goodness, that's a lot of money. But you know, what is money? Money is a commodity that we use to purchase things, to do things, to accomplish things. We talked about sowing, and what I love so much about the Empowering Pastors Conference is this. Last year, three pastors came expecting that that was going to be their last conference, and then they were leaving the ministry, which means there would have been three pastors with no church, which also means these three pastors were not going to go back and serve God in their calling. And after coming last year, all three of them changed their minds. God changed their mind. God touched them. God encouraged them through you. And I want to say that you literally saved three towns. You saved three towns. You didn't save a man, because when the pastor speaks, he speaks to the congregation in the region that he's in authority over. And I want to thank God that you touched three different regions, three different areas by your giving. And I just want you to turn to someone and say, thank you so very much. We want to welcome our online campus. Can you give them a hand clap this morning? We want to remind everybody online, you're part of our family. And even though you're not in the building, you might be somewhere in the world, you're watching right now, and you need to know that you have a family right here in the middle of a cornfield in Horse of Heads, New York, that says we love you. And we're praying for you. And if you would like, we have a specific just for our online campus as well as our live streamers. That's our television ministry and live stream. If you would like one of these, email me at histab@histabernacle.com. We'll get one sent to you. So every time you look at this, you will be able to say, I have a family praying for me. And when you drive by us with this, we'll know you're on our online campus. So we just want to say thank you. If you're a first-time guest at His Tabernacle, we also want to welcome you. And I want to say how brave you are, because I know what it's like to go to a new place where you've never been. It's uncomfortable. And so I want to say congratulations. We have something we call white-knuckle disease. And that's when you're hanging on to the chair in front of you saying, oh my goodness, oh my goodness, oh my goodness, oh my goodness, what did I get myself into? And I want you to know you're going to be all right. Can you turn to someone and say, you're going to be all right? Come on, tell somebody else you're going to be all right. Now, how do I know that? Because we encourage you to come three times, not once, three different times. And when you come, you're going to be able to adjust. Because sometimes you come from a more liturgical background. You're not used to the loud noises. You're going to be all right. And not only that, we're preparing you for heaven, because heaven's not going to be quiet. Can I hear an amen? First time you see Jesus? Come on, what are you going to say the very first time you see Jesus? Some of you are going to say nothing. What are you going to say the first time you see Jesus? Praise the Lord. Hopefully you say more than that. Maybe you're falling on your face like John. That's, Lord, I just humble myself before you. Thank you for washing my sins away. Amen? So we're just excited that you're here. You know, we don't do this often, but we just got a small shipment of books in. We got 10 Truth, a Rock Solid Faith, of Volume 1, and 15 of Volume 2. They go quick. So if you'd like one, they're out in the foyer. They're out at the table, as well as a lot of other product that will build your spirit. Those are available. What's that? Oh, and that's right. We just this week put it on Kindle. So if you'd like the Kindle version, you can go to Kindle or Amazon.com and type in Truth, A Rock Solid Faith, Dr. Michael Spencer, and you'll be able to buy yours right online. So if you're our first-time guest, we'd just like to welcome you. We're not going to make you stand up or embarrass you. But if you're a first-time guest, can you just raise your hand this morning? Oh, ma'am, very good. Young folks right there, young lady. Come on. Anybody else? If you did not get a visitor's packet, which is a mug and everything like that, that way you can smile at us every morning. If you could keep your hand right up as well. Did you folks get a mug and stuff? Awesome. Very good. Praise the Lord. Anybody else? You're a first-time guest? One more hand clap for our guests. Thank you so much. Right after this service, if you would like, we'd like to meet you as pastors and our staff. We have a guest room right around. If you go out, take a left, go down the hallway, you'll get directions. We'll have a room just for you. We've got some snacks, and we just want to meet you. Shake your hand and tell you that we appreciate you being with us this morning. Well, you got a problem then, don't you? She says, I don't have a microphone. I said, well, you got a problem.
Not really. I can project.
That she can.
I really don't need the microphone, but I will use it to save my voice. I am so excited to be in the house today. Man, the word of God today is going to be life to you. I can't wait to get into the word. Right now, we're going to share on tithes and offerings. And I love talking about money in the house of God. His word is full of his ordinances for our finances to make us successful. So I have no shame in sharing with you the success from the word of God regarding finances. You know, it's one of the biggest areas in your life. It's what you toil for every single day. You work so hard for it. It's your biggest stresses, your biggest fights, your biggest marriage arguments. It's all surrounding money. So we better be talking about finances in the house of God.
Amen.
So I come up to you every single week gladly sharing biblical principles on our finances. So God, he's the owner of everything. And last week, Pastor preached a powerful message on what we serve and what our idols are and making sure God is first above everything. And we want to make sure God is the owner of our finances. I have a couple of passages to read to you. You know, we like to talk about the tithe, which is 10%, which is holy to the Lord. But I want to talk to you about a little bit more than that. Psalms 24:1. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness of it, the world and those who dwell in it. And then in Psalms 50:23, it says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness therein. And 1 Corinthians 10:26 says the earth is the Lord and everything in it. So he is the owner of everything. I want us to have a mind renewal about our money. He's not just the owner of the 10% that's holy for his kingdom. He's the owner of all of it. We read Matthew 25 last week, which teaches us how the kingdom works. God's the owner of all of it, and then he's entrusted to each of us our portion. And what will we do with what's been entrusted to us, the whole amount that's been entrusted to us? Are we going to be good stewards? Are we going to honor God with the tithe, the 10%? Because he is the owner of all of it, and he's coming back someday, and he's going to say, what have you done with what I've given you? And it says that the things that worms can eat and moths can decay and fire will burn up, those things won't be left in the end. When we finish this linear time world and we enter into that eternal, what will we have left of what he's entrusted, the whole amount he's entrusted? What will be left over that will have eternal value, that fire can't burn up? And we will stand before God, and I want him to say, over the whole portion, well done, my good and faithful servant. Boy, does it change how we look at our finances, doesn't it? when we know that it is all on loan? It is all just on loan to us to do our best with, to produce an eternal harvest for our King who is coming back someday. And I want him to be pleased with me. How about you? Are you ready to give this morning? Let's stand to our feet. We'll make our supernatural declaration from the Word of God in Deuteronomy 28. And it says, if I obey, then I am blessed going in. And I am blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse. And I am blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up because I'm a child of God. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Come on and bring your tithes and offerings to the Lord. If you're watching via live stream, click on the giving button and give right along with us.
Coming week is so exciting for us. How many of you are excited that Jesus didn't just die, but he rose from the dead? You know, all the other gods that people serve are still in the grave. Our God rose from the dead. And you know, there's a man named Mr. Greenleaf, and he was one of the founding fathers of Harvard University. And what happened was, one of his students, as he was speaking against Christianity, one of his students raised their hands and said, sir, have you ever studied whether the death, the life, and resurrection of Jesus Christ was real? And he had to say in the class, no, he had not. And so what he did was, he started a study, anticipating to be able to easily disprove this foolish philosophy and this new religion called Christianity that seemed to have swept the planet. But at the conclusion of his studies, he came to a realization that he could not disprove it, but that he proved it, and that he had to give his heart to Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And that man wrote a book, one of the founding fathers of Harvard, wrote a book about his findings. And you can find that. That is in the Rock Solid Faith where it's found. But I would encourage you, if you struggle with understanding whether Jesus Christ truly rose from the dead, it is actually takes more faith to believe that he did not than that he did. Turn to someone and say, HT plus one. We have for you invitations. I believe we just got 1,000 of them. That's it. Everybody gets to have one. Now, if you notice, the name of our church is not on there. Our logo is, we want you to do this. The reason that was done is so that you would be able to personally invite them. This is not let's throw it down on the street and hopefully someone picks it up. You need to find your person that you're going to be bringing to the house of God and give them this personal invitation. I'd encourage you to pick them up. That would really help them be here. Because if someone's not in the habit of being in the house of God, many times they just don't continue. So I want to encourage you to do that. Today, we are going to get into the Word of God. It is such an amazing scripture. And I am personally stimulated and challenged. I have never preached this message before. I've been learning things. How many of you know that you continue to learn? Turn to someone and say, don't be ignorant. You know, some of you, I like saying that to the person next to you. That's not nice. Ignorance is two forms of ignorance. One, where you just don't know. And most people just don't know. The other type of ignorance is that you have the opportunity to learn and you choose not to. That is ignorance. And today I want you to know that I love learning. One of the greatest things you and I can ever do is continue to learn. Because God has a plan and he gave us a brain. Turn to somebody. God told us to not hang our brain on the hat rack. So many Christians believe that when you're going to believe in the Lord, you hang your brain on the hat rack and you've got to abandon reason and intelligence. And I'm here to tell you that Christianity, the kingdom of God, is the most intellectual faith you will ever be able to delve into. And that God, by his great wisdom, created this earth and created his people in his own image, to be able to be successful on this planet. And he's given us the tools to accomplish that. And I love the fact that I, as the pastor, get to share this principle and these principles with you. This is the year of? I said, this is the year of? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Seek the kingdom. So when we seek the kingdom, we recognize that it is not a religion, but that it is a place. And the kingdom of God is a region. The kingdom of God is the universe. The kingdom of God is always run by a king. And in God's kingdom, there are principles. So many of us try to get God to run his kingdom our way. I don't know about you. That's pretty bad. That's pretty good arrogance, isn't it? Well, God, I think you need to change how you do things. Well, Lord, I've come into some progressive learning, and I think I've figured this out better than you did. I want you to know that you and nobody in this room is smarter than the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He said his greatest wisdom is, listen, our greatest wisdom is his dumb down. We've got to recognize that God is great and he has phenomenal wisdom, the creator of the world. In this year of kingdom seed, the principle that we're focusing on is the seed this year. For everything that God has given, every way that God works is by the seed. And God wants us to recognize that every fashion of our life is saturated with seed. We know the verse. We talked about the verse in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. And it says this, that don't be deceived, for God is not mocked. Whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap. If a man sows to the flesh, he shall of the flesh reap corruption. If a man sows to the Spirit, he shall of the Spirit reap eternal life. The fact is that every one of us are planting seeds every single day. And we will participate with the harvest that we have planted. And today, if we're wise planters, if we're wise stewards, then we will plant with wisdom to obtain the harvest. Remember, you never plant the seed. You plant for the harvest. You got to know what you're aiming at. You got to know what you're planting for. You got to know where you're going before you drop the seed in the ground. That is wisdom. Can I hear an amen? Amen? So this year we've been talking about this whole principle about sowing and reaping and about seed time and harvest. And Psalms 1 verse 3 is our verse for the year, and it says this, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall fail. Well, I don't believe in that prosperity gospel. Well, let me tell you, show me one of the patriarchs that was poor. Look at the people that Jesus actually brought into ministry with him. They weren't just fly-by-nights, they were business people. When you start studying, even Jesus lived in a house. When you start studying the Messiah, when you start studying Christ, why do you think they did not rip his clothes when he was on the tree, which was a prophetic word? Why? Because he was wearing what was called a seamless garment. The seamless garment was the most expensive clothing you could wear of that day. The church has brought ourselves into the arrest of foolish thinking rather than truly honoring and pondering the word of God. God's word is yea and amen, and God wants you to prosper, not to fail. Can I hear another amen? Amen? So we did this whole thing on our time as seed. How many of you started doing something different with your time? Not many of you. How many of you started doing something different with your time? Listen, this is important because isn't it nuts? Isn't it crazy? Isn't it just way out of the mindset to recognize that you have just 24 hours in a day, you have 168 hours in a week, and you are planting every hour that you are living. You cannot go back and retract the seed you planted, but that you are automatically in the process of harvest time. And we're always, because every day we're planting our time, every day we're stepping into time, every day we're planting our life, that we will live in perpetual harvest. This is what I want you to recognize, that perpetual harvest is the plan of God so that you and I don't have to stop and go in our harvest time, but that you and I can reap and live in abundance. And that's why it says, and you shall prosper, because you learn how to live in perpetual harvest, not just of finances, but of your life, of your family, of every area of relationship, and especially in your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Today I want to talk to you about your thoughts. Your thoughts are seed. In fact, you're sitting there right now thinking. The Bible says in Psalms 23, verse 7, for as a man thinks, so he is. You and I are today the culmination of the seeds that we have planted with our thought mind. How we have thought, how we have deduced, how we have allowed our minds and where we have brought our minds to, we today are reaping from that. By where you're sitting, some of you were taught that God is not real. Some of you were taught that Christianity is foolishness. Some of you were taught, well, I don't need organized religion. Some of you were taught all these different things as a child, and whether you recognize it or not, your unconscious man, your non-conscious man, is already and has been thinking while you're sitting in that seat, do I really want to be here? Do I really agree with this? Do I really want this? And where did those thoughts come from? It came from your non-conscious mindset, and you today are, whether you like it or not, are reaping from a harvest and seeds that even your family planted. You ever seen a child afraid of things? You ever seen prejudice? Prejudice is learned. Fear is learned. These processes, we many times as parents, we pass on to our children the fears that they have in their life. You see, church, we've got to recognize how we think really determines how we're going to harvest. And if we anticipate thinking any way we want to get any kind of harvest we want, then we are in delusion. For whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap. So how you're thinking is going to determine directly how you're going to harvest in your entire life. For as a man thinks, so he is. You are today the culmination of the seeds of your thoughts. We're the only creature that God has created in his image. And he's given us this phenomenal opportunity. You and I, according to Psalms 139, are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are not an accident. You are not, listen, some of you might have been told, well, you know, you're going to be poor your whole life. You're never going to make it your whole life. You're a loser. Some of you even had your parents tell you you were losers, that you were never going to account for anything. And I want you to know today that those seeds might have been planted in your thought life, but today God can extract them. I love my God. He has a phenomenal rotor tiller. Amen? And he can pull the old plants out and plant new seeds in so that you'll believe who he calls you to be. Remember, you're not a Christian. God never called you a Christian. He called you a son and a daughter. He called you a priest and a king. He called you an ambassador of the Most High God. He called you successful and not a failure. Your God is on your side. You cannot lose. And it's time to identify the very seeds of thoughts that have been planted. For in you, you were fearfully and wonderfully made by the very hand of God. What's really interesting, and for those who have not been in rock solid faith, you need to take that class, by the way. You've been made a trichotomous being. The Bible says in Genesis 1, verse 26, that God made man in his image and in his likeness. We know that Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, they are three yet. Come on. Oh, I heard my rock solid faith class. They are three yet. They are three yet. So God, by his Spirit, is three yet. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You two and I, we have been created in the image of God. We are a spirit who has a soul that lives in a body. Say that with me. I am a spirit who has a soul that lives in a body. Let's say that one more time together. I am a spirit who has a soul who lives in a body. And I'm just going to talk really quickly about this because then I got to get going fast. So if you don't know much about this, you might need to grab one. You got to join Rock Solid Faith. It's just the way it is. My class sits there every week and says, why aren't there 300 people in here? And I scratch my head and said, I don't know. Because what you'll learn then, they will change your life. You as spirit, soul, and body, this is found in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing of the soul and the spirit and the bone and the marrow, is a discerner of the very thoughts and the intents of the heart. We also know that it's found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, about spirit, soul, and body being made in the very image of God. Your spirit man is either alive or dead. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the Bible says that you are dead in your trespasses and sin, which means if you took your last breath today, that you would be beckoning the very hallways of hell, and which would be the holding tank before it regurgitates itself in Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15, at the white throne judgment, and therefore you will be thrown into the lake of fire because your name will not be written in the Lamb's book of life. But today, if you've confessed Jesus, if you confess the Lord with your mouth, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For the mouth confession is made unto salvation. I'm here to tell you, those who call upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. And when you accept Jesus, the Bible says that now you become the very temple of the Holy Ghost. That literally, not figuratively, that God by his Spirit makes your spirit man alive and you are quickened by that mortal body. God today lives inside of you. If you're born again, turn to someone and say, I'm possessed. Possessed. I want to remind you that the devil has only counterfeited what God has done because he's not a creator. If you see devils possessing, you know it's always God's plan first to live inside his people. Can I hear an amen? Amen. You have a spirit, live or dead. You have, well, I hope so. You have a soul, which is your intellect, your emotions, and your will. Before you're born again, you've lived out of your intellect, your emotions, and your will. They have guided you. They have directed you. They have, you know, you've seen people that are emotional. Ever met somebody emotional? One minute they're here, the next minute they're there. The next minute they're up, the next minute they're down. You cannot trust your emotions. Your emotions are unstable. Your emotions are generated by circumstances and situations that surround you. God never told us to live by our circumstances. He told us to walk by faith. For the just shall live by faith, calling those things which are not as though they already are. Can I hear an amen this morning? You see, God has called you to live higher, not lower. And when you live in the soul, you're living at the lowest point of mankind. Your physical body is nothing more than just a slave to either your spirit man or your soul. You know, people say, don't judge me. Nobody has to judge you. Your soul, if you're living out of your soul, it's manifesting through your body. No one judges you. You judge yourself by your actions. This is where, as your physical body being nothing more than a slave, it will respond either to the spirit or to the soulish man. Now, the true order that God has called us to be is that you're alive in Christ. Can I hear an amen? And that your flesh is subject to God, which means your soul, your intellect, emotions, and will are subject to the Holy Spirit. Therefore, I walk in the Spirit, and I will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. This is the process of God, the process of the kingdom that God has desired, and he has deeply designed that you and I could have God by his Spirit dwelling inside of us. For it's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me, and the life that I live in the flesh, I live according to the faith of the Son of God. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. That we constantly are being guided by the Spirit of God, for these are the children of God. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. That are led by the Spirit of God. Not that we do whatever we want, whenever we want. We're guided by the Holy Ghost when our spirit man is in control. And that's why John, the great John, what was his name? No. John the Baptist, thank you. Hey, sometimes you just get flowing. John the Baptist said, I must decrease that he can, which means my spirit will be controlled by God more and my flesh will come under subjection. And it will manifest who you truly are by your physical body. So if you're living in sin, you're living a sinful manner, you're living a sinful way, then you know your soul is in control. Don't be deceived, for God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. If a man sows of the flesh, he shall of the flesh reap corruption. But if he sows of the Spirit, he shall of the Spirit reap eternal life. So we are the ones who choose. Turn to someone and say, I chose my harvest. I chose my seed. I got no one to complain to because I chose. We are living in the life of choice. God has given us the right of choice. God has given us free will. And so many of us sit back. We blame this. We blame that. We blame our situation from our past. We blame our parents. We blame our job. We blame the economy. We blame all these things. But none of them matter as long as you're sowing in the kingdom of God. You see, whether you like it or not, the very thoughts of our minds are seeds. You know what's interesting is they say that 75 to 99% of all mental and physical illnesses come through our thought life. I was a little shocked by that. I said, really, just through our thought life? But you know, I remember as a teenager, I was in college, you know, I was a teenager, we found this kid that we just wanted to pick on. So like four of us chose to pick on this kid in the daytime. So what we did in the morning, each one of us at a different time walked up to him and told him how sick he looked. It was a lot of fun. By noon, he was in bed. Well, why? Because when your mind bends itself around a thought and accepts the thought, your body will be activated. Remember, the body is activated by the soul or the spirit. Whomever it is yielded most to is what it will act out as. You see, Jesus said, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. When we truly grasp that, we're really understanding that if words form thoughts, then the thoughts of God are the number one priority. Albert Einstein said this. He said, I want to know the mind of God. Everything else is subservient. Even Albert Einstein knew that the mind of God was what we have to know. Well, I've got great news for you. The Bible says you have the mind of Christ. Can I hear an amen? But now you and I have to do what we're called to do, and that is to bring into subjection everything that would raise itself up against God. The thought of man truly is who you are. The word is always true, and how he thinks determines who we are. You know, that's why you got people with great gifts that will never do anything, because they have no confidence. One of the things I find as I'm working with pastors is that many pastors, in fact, the national statistics are that most pastors say they have a lower self-esteem after they entered the ministry than before the ministry. We have more pastors committing suicide and pastors' wives on serious depression medication than ever before. And we can look at that and we can say, well, that's the, you know, that's the problem of the ministry. And that's the, no, it's not. It's the problem of the thoughts. Because why is one person in the ministry not depressed and another is? Why is one struggling and one is not? And it doesn't matter how big the congregation is. It doesn't matter how big your job is. It doesn't matter how much you make. It is determined, your joy unspeakable and full of glory is determined not by your circumstances. For the Bible says inside of you, if you're born again, you have the very fruit or the personality of the Holy Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Everything you need is dwelling inside of you. That's why we have got to decrease so that our soul will be brought into subjection, so our physical body and our mind will magnify the Lord. What's amazing when you start doing brain science. Now, I just want to make this disclaimer very clear. I am not a brain scientist. But I spent many, many, many hours doing much research. I would encourage you to get a hold of Caroline Leaf's material. Caroline Leaf, like a leaf. If you can get her material, she is a scientist, and these are some of her studies, which I thought were just phenomenal, and again, they were proven. They're not just her theories. Our brain has 300 million plus years worth of storage.
Well, I think I've reached my end. Well, you know, when you hurt, when you hit a certain age, first thing to go is your.
Why are you saying that? Why are you saying that? You see, when you speak, you plant seeds. The Bible says before you ever speak, you think. So you have bought a lie that is not even true. You have 300 million plus years worth of storage memory in your brain, and not one of us have come close to touching it. Can I hear an amen? In the study of neuroplasty is how the brain changes form by our very thoughts. I love this stuff because I love showing the magnificent of the Creator. Man, I was not a blob. I did not have a big bang. I have a Creator who understands how He wanted His children to think because He made us like Himself. And we are beautifully intelligent individuals. Turn to someone and say, I'm brilliant.
Well, I don't believe that.
Oh, I'm telling you right now, that's the problem. You don't believe the truth. You have allowed your thought process to demean who God says you are. I can do some things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things. How can you do all things? Because God has given you the mind of God. He said, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God who giveth it all men liberally and abradeth not. God said, if you need wisdom, I'll give you wisdom. If you need understanding, I'll give you understanding. If you need discernment, I'll give you discernment. I'll make your mind work so powerful that it will produce the prosperity that I have planned for you. Hallelujah. I'm going to get excited. If you don't, it don't matter. Our non-conscious mind is active 24 hours a day and processes 400 billion actions a second. No, I didn't say an hour. 400 billion processes every single second. Your conscious mind processes 2,000 actions per second. Your conscious and unconscious mind meet 40 times per second. The non-conscious mind thinks in quantum speeds, faster than the speed of light, which is 186,000 miles per second. I don't know how you can look at these things, which is science,
and say that you are non-intelligent. God has taken you and formed you and created you that you and I would have thoughts that would stimulate the creativity, the power, the understanding, and the wisdom of heaven itself, and that the memories do not have to be lost. You do not have to slip into a place where you don't remember, where you have a problem. I had somebody say to me one time, I can't memorize scripture anymore. I laid hands on them in the name of Jesus, and I commanded their brain to start holding it. And what they did, they started memorizing. Why? Because your brain is subject to you. It's part of your body. Your mind and your body, excuse me, your mind and your brain are different. Your soul is your intellect, emotions, and will. Your body is the physical you, which is either a slave to the spirit or a slave to the soul. So how you think, whether spirit or soul, will determine how your body, the functioning factor of your entire life that motivates your physical body with health in its mind, health in its body, health in its life, health in its success, is not determined by God, it's determined by you. Our brains have over 100 billion neurons. A neuron is like a tree. Very interesting. Oh, by the way, what's the verse for the year? You shall be like a... It's interesting when you look at the brain. They're called actually thought trees. When we think, we stimulate what's called proteins. Every one of you right now are creating substance called proteins. You're listening, it's going to your ear gate. You're watching, it's going through your eye gate. Your mind is thinking at the very same time, subconscious and conscious. They're meeting 40 times a second. Yet you're able to absorb the words that are spoken, for the words Jesus said, I speak our spirit and life. They're penetrating your brain. They're depositing in your brain. You're creating protons that are going to create what's called a thought tree that will either be healthy or deathly. Now, what's interesting is you have that 100 billion neurons like a tree, and on every single neuron, there are attached microtubules, which are like branches. That's where your memories are held. Isn't it cool when you start learning science? That's where your memories are held. And every tubular has what we call, like they described it in simplistic value, like railroad tracks that ship the knowledge in places that it needs to go. What's interesting is right now you're depositing in your thought processes what I'm preaching to you. If it actually becomes something that the Spirit of God will quicken in your life, in 24 hours, you'll still be thinking about it. It'll be re-stimulated in your mind. And what will happen is a new chemical will be released within your body. And it's called this. It is called ChemK2. It's a protein. It will grab that thought and then start moving it along the railroad tracks. And in 63 days, that thought will now become concrete lifestyle, whether it be life or death. So if you're negative, you're still creating trees. They say when they did the research, and this is the amazing part, is they actually can do scientific research that shows what these actually look like. When you're thinking negative, it actually still creating trees, but they're withery and wiry. And they do not produce life, they produce death. So when you're speaking unbelief, when you're speaking doubt, when you're speaking backbiting, gossiping, when you're speaking, let's just talk about what it is, when you're sinning, you're still creating trees. And your body, your mind, your physical brain is absorbing and creating from your soul. As a man thinks, so he. When someone tells me I can't, I don't think so. Well, you know, they couldn't. Or they wouldn't have said, I can't. So why couldn't they and I can? Because I believe that there is nothing impossible with God. I believe that God can move mountains. That if I say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be cast into the sea, and do not doubt, I shall have what I ask. I believe that God is supernatural. And that no matter what I believe, I can call it from the realm of the eternal into the realm of the natural. For I believe the word of God says, the Bible says, that we can call those things which are not as though they already are. It might be no to them, but it's because they've allowed their mind to be arrested by the flesh and not the spirit. You're either producing life neurons or death. Life trees or death trees. This is what it looks like. It's really interesting. Can you show that up on there? This is the life trees. So all these proteins, no, that's a brain. All these proteins, they're pink little proteins, start building on each other as your thoughts are working. And then all of a sudden, that's what it looks like. Isn't that cool? Those are trees. Those are called thought trees. And those are proteins that have been built together and are creating the thought trees. And off of those, of all the other really intellectual stuff. That's you. Or, when you look at those trees, they're all withered and wiry and full of death and not life. You can talk yourself into death. You can talk yourself into death. You can talk yourself into failure. But I want to remind you that before it ever comes out your mouth, you're already thinking it in your head. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth. As a man thinks, so he. How do you think? Well, you know, this is just never going to happen. Well, you know, this just won't ever work. Well, you know, the doctors tried and it was a failure. Well, you know, my family this, my family that. Well, my job this, my job that. You're creating in your brain. And God is saying it's time to renew your mind. It's time to allow the word to take precedent over your situation. It's time to be led by the Holy Ghost, by the Spirit of God, and not allowing your flesh to dictate. For there is nothing impossible if God is on your side. Oh, I don't think you heard me. I said if God is on your side, the creator of heaven and earth, he dwells inside of you. There is nothing you cannot do. But you see, if you don't believe, then you get what you believe. And this is where many of us are. Well, my marriage. Speak life to your marriage instead of death. Well, my husband. My wife did that all in our early part of marriage because I was a very bad husband. That's true. If divorce was an option, I say we had bad 2 years, she says four. But she would look at me, and I don't know where she learned it, but she would look at me and she'd go, you are the best husband any woman could ever have. She would look at me and she would say, you know something, honey? You are the most caring, sensitive man. Thank you for being such a great husband. Boy, that made me mad. It did. It made me mad because it was like, I know she's just lying. But she wasn't lying. She was activating the thoughts. You ever heard someone say, well, you know, you go to his tabernacle. Isn't that a brainwashing church? And there's your answer. You ready? Yes, of course it's a brainwashing church. What is wrong with you? We get our brain washed by the word of God every single week. You know, I don't want to go to that brainwashing church. Well, maybe you need it. You need it. You need your brain washed. You know something? If we don't get our brains washed, what's going to happen to us? We're going to think like the flesh. We're going to live in hell the rest of our lives. Listen, one of the fruit of the Holy Spirit is joy. Joy is not determined by your situation. Joy is determined by who's in you. Well, I don't know. Exactly, that's the problem. Well, I don't know if I agree with that. Then enjoy yourself. I know I've told you before, but I had a man come to me. He goes, I can't stay at your church. I says, why? He said, nothing bothers you. Nothing bothers you. I have a problem with that. Well, I said, well, thank you. Because I've decided that my God is the manager of my life, that I will live for him, that I will be guided by the Holy Ghost. Listen, I'm not perfect. Nobody in this world is perfect. But we must come to the understanding that our minds have been created to change. You are not the same person you were when you were a baby. Now, I love my granddaughter. I love her. Can I have her? Sophia, can you come to Grampy? Can you come to Grampy? I'm almost done. Hi, honey. Are you eating? Oh, yeah. I love you. This is my granddaughter. Now, she's, I don't know why parents do this. I think she's 15 months. How old is she? She's 15 months? It's a good guess, wasn't it? But, you know, I remember when she first, you know, I held her, which I didn't do a lot. But I remember she pooped a lot. And you'd feed her with a spoon. But now, you don't need to feed her with a spoon. She says, Grampy. She eats with her hand. She swallows by herself. She actually goes poopy on the toilet. We're so proud. But you see what's happening? Someone's depositing thoughts in her head. Do you want to know why she comes to Grampy all the time? Because I feed her. I feed her things she's not allowed to have. This morning we were in the office and she walked over and her mommy told her no, that she couldn't have some food. She walked over and she went. I picked her up, walked over, and took a piece of the watermelon, bit off a little piece, and put it in her mouth. Well, you know how she knows that? She learned that. Her brain is storing that. How many of you remember when you were 15 months? How many of you remember when you were 15 months? Some of you might. I don't. Ma? Ma? You want more? Oh, she said more. Here you go. Do you realize that her brain taught her by the creation of neurons and those other things that said, Heather has the food. More? You're learning and I'm learning every single day. Life or death. The awesome part is you can relearn. Romans chapter 12. You want to go sit down now? Go sit with mommy. Romans chapter 12. Fly. Romans chapter 12 says this. Let's read it together. Now I'll read it for you. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Turn to someone and say, be transformed. Come on, tell somebody, be transformed. By the renewing. You know what's amazing? Let me show you this. I can guarantee you, I want to show you how your brain works. When I said transformed, I said it twice for a reason. Because I wanted to ask you this question. How many of you saw in your mind's eye the Transformers? Yeah, I see. Look at the hands. Y'all messed up. Man, I'll tell you something. Isn't it amazing? Your subconscious met your conscience 40 times a second to bring that up. Whether you like it or not, your mind has been programmed. Whether you like it or not, your brain is programmed with literal tissue. And God has said that he has given us the authority and the power to transform our brain, to transform our minds, that we no longer have to be conformed to the ways of the world and the linear time that we live in on this planet, surviving from one moment to the next. For we walk in the Spirit, we will understand that we can walk in places and do things that normal people cannot, because God is on our side. But we've got to reprogram our mind. The more you're in the Word, the more you'll program your mind for success. You just think you don't like reading the Bible. It's not true. Your mind likes reading the Bible. Your mind likes it. Well, I don't like reading. Who told you that? Who told you you don't like reading? Who lied to you, and why did you buy the lie? Well, I can't learn that way. Who lied to you? Your brain has so much storage and just hungry to learn more. And the more you fill yourself with the God principles, the more life you create in your brain. So you will be healthier. You'll be wealthier. And let's all just say, thank God, we'll be wiser. Can I hear an amen or oh my? I'm almost done. I'll be done here in 2 seconds. You see, we have Easter next week. But after Easter, I'm going to teach you how to renew your mind. I'm going to teach you how to take your brain and twist it in the right way. We're going to teach you how to truly be brainwashed by the Word of God. For the Lord has not given you the spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. I want you to recognize the devil's never going to be your issue. He's already defeated. The issue is you. How you think. How you believe. Because how you believe is how you receive. That's why faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The more word you get in you, the more your mind, literally, your brain is being rewired. And the more you're rewired to the Word, the more you can live kingdom. Which means, you see people, man, that just are so stinking blessed as a believer. They might not have a lot of stuff, but baby, they couldn't get happier than they are. Now listen, that's what we're all really searching for. We want happiness. Because money don't make you happy. Can I hear an amen or oh my? Listen, it's not a bad thing to have money. It's not a bad thing to have coinage. I mean, coinage can buy you stuff. But you can't find happiness in stuff only for a short period of time. Then you got to buy a new stuff. You can't find it in a man or a woman. Because what happens if they die? Well, they won't die. How do you know? How do you know they won't leave here today and die? Well, that's horrible. Why would he say that out loud? Because it's true. And we talked about gods last week. He said, I'll have no other gods before me. Who and why and what and how do you think? It is literally creating your harvest. And don't be deceived, for God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, he shall reap. 2 Corinthians 10, 4 and 5, I'll read this and be done. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God and for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Bringing every into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Folks, today every one of us are going to have opportunity. We're going to get mad. Something's going to happen in our life, good or bad. And we have opportunity to allow just any thought to pop in our mind. Remember, just because a bird flies around your head doesn't mean you got to let them nest in your hair. Take authority over your thoughts.
because it does determine your life or death. If truly 75 to 99% of all mental and physical illnesses come by the way we think, then how many of you know you got serious issues in your life? Think like God and think success. Bow your heads with me this morning. Father, I thank you this morning that you have taught us. Lord, that you gave us this brilliant mind, that you gave us this tremendous capability of storing, understanding, and regurgitating. Father, I thank you that you have called us to show forth your glory on this planet. That means, God, we got to use our brain, the one that you gave us and you have empowered with such distinction. Today, God, we make a choice. We might not have ever known this before, but now our brain, while we've been sitting here, has been creating substance, creating mass, the neurons, the tree, the microtubules. We pray and declare, God, that Chem K2 will happen with this message, that, Father, that chemical, that protein will be released in our body, that we will never forget this, that when words come out of our mouth, we can identify there's a problem with our brain. And we need to get back into your word and think the way God thinks. Let this mind be in you, which is in Christ Jesus. And we may show this world that God's not dead, but he's alive. Father, we thank you for the privilege of serving you, that you have left us with every opportunity to succeed and not fail. Today, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you need your mind saved. You need to go from death to life. Your spirit man is dead. He wants to come alive today. Jesus said, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you." Today, he's talking. Let me tell you how you're feeling. You're feeling that you want to accept Jesus in your spirit. You're feeling a hunger. You're feeling a desire, but you're not sure what's going to happen. You're not sure, so there's a nervousness going on. Maybe you're not right. You once served God, but today you're not. You're feeling that same draw of the Spirit of God. Today, if you'd like to renew your relationship with Jesus, today, if you would like to give your heart to Christ for the very first time, I'm not asking you to join a church. I'm asking you to become a citizen. If you'd like Christ to be your Lord and Savior, I want you to raise your hand up right now. I want to lead you to the best friend you're ever going to have. His name is Jesus. Is there anyone in the room this morning that would like to receive Jesus as your personal Savior? Raise your hand up. I'm not going to wait long. Come on, get your hand up. 5, 4, get your hand up. 3, 2, last call. Yes, we have somebody. I can't see them. Raise your hand up. 1. Let's all stand to our feet. I don't know about you. I know it went a little bit long. For those who are new here, you'll survive. You see, I believe that the word will change us. We'll sit down, work 8 hours, stare ourselves in a computer, and come home all tired. We come to church, if the preacher preaches longer than 20 minutes, well, I need to go to a different church. No, you need to get in the house of God. Get your mind renewed. Get washed up. Today, we want to invite all of you who are our guests. If it's your first time here, we want to invite you over to the guest reception. We'd love to meet you on over there. If you need prayer this morning, maybe you're finding that your mind is just being oppressed. Maybe you're finding that you are depressed. Maybe you're finding that you are discouraged. Today, we have a prayer team. If they'll come, they want to pray with you. You're going to see God set you free supernaturally today. And God is going to start to rewire your hardwire. And you are going to be new in Christ. Can I hear an amen? So today, as you get to go your way, I want you to do this. Be in the Word every single day. Free devotions, by the way, on our website every day and on our Facebook. I write one 5 days a week. It's free to you. That will be your devotions. Get it in your spirit. We love you. Father, bless us all in Jesus' name. Let us go with power and authority. Let us go with understanding and wisdom. Let us go knowing that we are brilliant in heaven and on earth. In the name of Jesus. And everybody agree and shout it. Have an awesome day. Serve God with all of your hearts.